Thank you, God, for the gathering of all your people here, and thank you for the privilege of studying your word.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, it has been a day of some distractions and busyness and moving around and accomplishing this and achieving that. But God, we pray that you would help us to unplug. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of y'all hadn't been that quiet all day, right? You've been talking on the phone. Thank you, Selena. Where is Selena? Thank you, Selena. You mess with me tonight. You mess with me tonight. I want you to know I've been so distracted today and just busy, and I've been around people who are busy and everybody's trying to achieve stuff, right? And don't you get tired? Can I just vent for y'all for just 30 seconds? Can I just vent for a minute? Can I just regurgitate for a minute? I'm sorry for the image, but I've just been distracted all day, and I even coming into prayer service tonight, I'm on the phone trying to get some folks off the phone, and throw my way into prayer. And as soon as I get in there, the preacher is preaching about distractions. Yeah, right. That was a rhema word for me, tailor made for me. Just sit down. Sit down. Your whole worth is determined by, is connected to achievement so much that you just keep trying to achieve. And covering up the emptiness and the hollow person on the inside. And once you start taking all them layers off, you just an onion. You ain't got nothing on the inside. Just keep on. All right. I'm not been there long enough. Okay. All right. Thank you all for that little moment to vent. Okay. Tonight, we're still on this destiny thing. And, Brother Murphy, come for a second. Tom Murphy. We'll find Anthony. Time is warm in here. Temperature back and forth. Open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5. What is Moses' purpose, his destiny, as we find out in this study? What's Moses' purpose and destiny? To be a liberator, right? And what's the destiny, what's the purpose of the people? To be liberated. Okay. To be liberated. Okay. When Moses first gets the idea, God gives him the idea that this is his destiny. When he first gets that, Moses has to deal with some internal roadblocks. What are some of those internal roadblocks that Moses has to deal with? Some of the internal stuff he has to deal with. What do you say? Where is it? Are we just making that up? Where is it? Chapter 4, maybe? Look at Exodus chapter 4. And is it starts chapter 3? Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, you're right. My bad. You're right. Okay. So, Nicole, since you go here, so you want to... Where in chapter 3 does it begin? Okay, there it is. The moment you decide that you are going to do what God has put in your heart, your mind, those dreams, those goals, you decide that you're going to walk in purpose, you have to deal with some internal roadblocks, okay? And without even thinking about Moses, think about you, and I want you to tell me, once you decide to do the right thing, once you decide to go in a certain direction, what kind of internal roadblocks do you have to deal with sometimes? Self. Yeah, but what about self? That's pretty broad.
Doubt.
Sometimes you got to deal with doubt, right? The moment you decide, okay, I'm going to do this thing. I have this dream of going back to school, I don't know, to get this degree. All right? And the moment you decide that you're going to do it, you have to deal with those internal voices. One of them is doubt sometimes. What else?
Fear.
Uncertainty. Wondering how it's going to work out. Somebody said rejection.
Failure.
You start thinking about, do you have time for it? You start wondering if you have the money. That's right. And the ability. You wonder if it's God speaking to you or just your own voice, okay? So once you decide that you're going to walk in purpose and you're going to head towards your destiny, live with purpose, you got to deal with some internal roadblocks. Moses dealt with those. Moses had those internal roadblocks. One of his roadblocks was, who am I? You know, he started questioning himself. Was that 3:11? You see that 3:11? You see that in 3:11? Some of y'all saying, yes, you ain't got a Bible in front of you. I know y'all ain't come to Bible study with no Bibles. I know you got it on your phone somewhere, right? You got it. There you go. That's in 11. Where does Moses mention kind of or voice his next issue or his roadblock?
13.
Verse 13. What's the issue in verse 13? What do you say? What does verse 13 say? Just read it for me. What's your name? Okay, so let's just keep it real simple. So his next issue is simply he wants to know God's name. Or he wants to be equipped with God's name because he feels like the people are going to ask about God's name. What does he mean? Why is he asking about God's name? What do you say? So he can tell them who sent him. So he can be viewed as credible. Because understand, what was Moses' issue? Why did he have to leave Egypt in the first place? I mean, because he murdered someone, and his name wasn't that great in Egypt. So in order to redeem his name, he needed to know what God's name was. Okay, so he said, what's your name? Okay, so what's Moses' next issue? His next roadblock. Just keep on reading down, maybe into the next chapter. I don't know where it is. What's it say? Chapter 4, verse 1. Read that for me, Debbie.
What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say the Lord did not appear to you?
Okay, so right. So that's his next kind of issue. What if they don't believe me? Okay, so far, how many issues have we raised?
Three.
Okay, what's the next issue or struggle? Keep on reading down. You may have to skip down a few verses. Several verses.
4:10.
What does that say, Sheila?
I am slow to speak.
Okay, he admits he has a speech impediment. And if his ministry is going to be speaking, then having a speech impediment might be a problem. No? Okay, so he has to deal with these internal roadblocks. Okay? Now, what I want to say tonight, because I think that's it, right?
Send somebody else.
13, he just says.
Send somebody else.
I ain't the one. Okay? Okay. Every argument I've come up with, you have countered. So I'm not the one. Okay, now. But see, here's the thing. Even when you get through your internal roadblocks, and let's say I have decided, let's just keep the school thing going. I'm going to go ahead and get this degree. I've talked myself into it. You know, I've been up late at night dealing with the anxiety of wondering how this is going to work out, how that's going to work out. Well, I have negotiated. I've come to terms with the internal roadblocks. So I decide to go ahead and do it. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to call. I'm going to get the application. I'm going to apply for this program. Well, the only thing now is that sometimes you got to deal with roadblocks that are outside of you. Yeah, you got to deal. You come to terms with what's inside. Now you got to deal with outside, with what is outside. connected with that reality, there are two statements that I want to reiterate that I mentioned on Sunday. How many of you all were here for the second service on Sunday? Better question, how many of you weren't here? You may have been for the first service. How many of you weren't here for the second service on Sunday? Okay, all right, okay, cool. A couple of y'all wasn't here for either one. So. How many of y'all weren't here for no service on Sunday? All right. All right. Okay, now. Okay, so there are two statements that were kind of the anchors of what I pushed at the second service on Sunday. One of them is this right here. Let's see, what should I want to do first? The road to fulfilling your God-given destiny includes some detours and obstacles. Everybody knows that?
Yes.
That's not news to you. Okay, so that even when I decide what is for me, and this is the gift God has put in me, and I decide to start walking down that road, I can expect to run into some detours and obstacles. Dorothy, just hit a little bit there for me, please. Tell me if you know this song. Anybody know that song? Stay right there. Give me some more. Amazing Grace, you need the hymn book. Okay, play that next one, please. I'm about to make somebody cry now. Y'all was dancing and bumping for a second again. Y'all gonna go to crying now. Song, y'all. Y'all making all that noise. Just a little bit of this.
A chair is still a chair.
even when there's no one sitting there. But a chair is not a
house. Okay, that's it. That's good enough. That was the Holy Ghost saying enough of that. That was the Holy Ghost saying. I just want to play them two songs. I ain't got no connection with the Bible study. I just thought it'd be nice to play them for people who are new to our Bible study. That's what we do. We come, we listen to me. No. Okay. So everybody recognized that, right? Mm-hmm. As Luther, I don't even need to say Vandross. So there's some people, the first name, that's all you got to do is say, is Luther. Now, it was his purpose, his destiny in him, to be a singer from the time that he was a teenager, okay? And I mean, Grammys and millions and sold millions of records, so forth, so on. The primary balladeer of that era, you know. Got on the road to becoming the singer. Luther Vandross got on the road to simply becoming Luther. This is where he ended up. Some of you know the story, though, right? What happened to him at the Apollo? At age 18, he was singing live at the Apollo. What night was that? What do I didn't have live at the Apollo? Wednesday, amateur night. I can't remember what night of the week is that. That's Wednesday night, right, okay, Wednesday night. Live at the Apollo, Luther Vandross is on. He gets up, guess he's nervous or whatever, stand at the microphone, he starts singing. He's so bad that they boo him off, you know, and after they boo you for a minute, they yank you off the stage. Sandman yanked him off of the stage. Same thing happens to Lauryn Hill. She was 13, live at the Apollo, booed off the stage. Same thing happened to Neo. Any of y'all know Neo?
Yeah.
Live at the Apollo, had a bad night starting off. He was maybe 20 years old, 21. Yanked off the stage. Dave Chappelle, live at the Apollo, one of his first gigs as a young man, booed off, yanked off the stage. Now, when you're on your road to your destiny, you can expect to run into roadblocks and obstacles. And where you end up all depends on how you responded to those roadblocks and obstacles. It's not whether or not you have them. It's how I respond. Luther could have easily, after that, decided, well, I ain't no good at this thing. And what would we have missed had he done that? See, when God puts something in you, you can't think that it's going to be easy just because God put it in you and God gave you the dream. God gives a church a vision. Wants y'all to build that thing. Get that property right over there. I want y'all to build it. Run into all kind of obstacles. People say, it must not be for us. Or we ain't going to do it. No. The presence of obstacles does not mean God ain't in it. I believe. And I'm jumping way ahead of myself. I believe that sometimes God permits obstacles or divinely orchestrates and constructs obstacles so that once you get the new building, the shout, the gratitude, or whatever, and whenever you accomplish your purpose is that much more intense. Because, in the words of the late Miles Jones, and excuse me, y'all, when you've been around somebody 20, 25 years, you've heard some stuff a whole lot, all right? So just act like it's new. When you have to overcome to come, arriving is that much better. Second time, I love that stuff. When you have to overcome, see, when you didn't have to overcome anything to get there, then look. You look. When you travel a lot, you got a lot of airplane stories, brother. You got a lot of airplane stories. And so you know, bad storm we just had on this weekend. I'm flying in one of them little planes. Lord have mercy. One of them little planes. And I'm leaving out of the D.C. area, headed to Columbus. And that storm right in, man, that front plane was like this and that. And everybody's looking at each other. Nobody want to say nothing, you know. And when we land, and people only did, and I only heard the Jamaicans do this. But when we land, everybody start clapping. Because when you got to overcome to come, then arriving is that much better. Write that down. Tweet it out, send it out, whatever you got to do. One more time. When you have to overcome to come, then arriving is that much better. Okay, so that's the first statement. Didn't mean to spend that much time on it. But the road to fulfilling your God-given destiny includes some detours and some obstacles. The second phrase or second line, second quote to kind of anchor the Sunday, things can go from bad to worse even after you get God involved. Now, I noticed when I made that statement on Sunday, I had some troubling looks. But it's all good. How does that make you feel when you hear that? Even after you get God involved, things can go from bad to worse. What's that do for you? What'd you say? Makes you afraid. Okay. What'd you say? It challenges your faith. What do you say? Make you seek a little harder. I love it. Make you seek a little harder. Because, you know, I'm praying about this sickness. And I expect, if I pray a prayer of faith, I expect to start improving. But what happens when that sickness gets worse? And the doctor comes back. And wait a minute. You can't reconcile the fact that you prayed about this thing with the fact that the sickness not only hasn't gotten better, but it's getting worse.
It impacts your expectations.
But don't you believe that when you pray and you claim that thing by faith, that God is just going to improve the situation? And especially if you're doing it God's way, you are believing. You heard the pastor say Sunday after Sunday, bring the tithe to the storehouse. God will open up the windows of heaven. You won't have room enough to receive it. But the financial situation got worse. Now, that doesn't always happen. Okay? But both of these lines, these roadblocks to your destiny, things getting worse when you get God involved, are lived out in this fifth chapter of Exodus. Okay? Just a segue there. Just go there. Moses, Exodus chapter 5. Verse 1. What's it say? Verse 1. Afterward, after what? Don't ever read those kind of words. Those are connecting, right? And so you have to understand that the Bible was not written in chapters and verses initially. Somebody else divided that up later. So just because you have a new chapter doesn't mean there's a break in the narrative. Matter of fact, afterward connects what's about to be said to what just happened. Right? And what had just happened up in the verses preceding? Y'all don't have that in your Bibles? Look at it. Look at it. I promise you it's there. Moses had met with the elders about what? About what God had said. And what do the elders do? They accept the plan. Okay? Okay, they believe. Okay? Now go up a little further. And what happened there? Aaron and Moses meet in the wilderness. Go up a little further. What happens there? The Lord said something to Moses, or reaffirmed something. Okay, go up. Yeah. Skip that. I don't want to touch that tonight. Go up a couple verses.
When you get to Egypt.
Go ahead, yes, read that.
When you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you the power to do.
Okay, go up ahead of that. Okay, he goes to Jethro, and Jethro gives him what? His blessing to go on to Egypt. But after that, the Lord says something to Moses. All those who wanted to kill you are dead. So, when Moses starts getting all these positive things, you know, he's getting all these positive indications that he's been accepted into the program. He applied for school. Okay, the Lord's put it in his heart. Okay, now Moses, this thing is working out for you. What do you think Moses' mindset is? Can I go to chapter 5, verse 1? What do you think Moses' mindset is now when he goes to Pharaoh? Oh, yeah. This is going to be a slam dunk, right? I got this. Chapter 5, verse 1 says what? Afterward, what? Moses and said, let my people go. Okay, stop right there. So Moses goes, he goes with his head up, confident, strong in the momentum that was created after he chose to go the right direction. So he's expecting everything to work out. But when he gets to Pharaoh, what happens? You see that? Pharaoh said, you know, and sometimes when you read the Bible, I just wish I could have been there to hear how they said it. Moses goes up there, let my people go. Pharaoh said, for real? I wish I could have said some stuff. He said, for real? He probably started laughing at Moses, right? Yeah, he started laughing at him and said, first of all, who is the Lord? Okay, now, so what you will see happening, and we'll work out the way through here, is what I call the tightening of the grip. The tightening of the grip of injustice and oppression begins to happen the moment Moses and Aaron go to Pharaoh. And what you see immediately is the arrogance of the oppressor. When he asked the question, what? Who is the Lord? That I should obey him and let Israel go. He says what? I don't know the Lord. And at least he's honest. Okay? I don't know this. Look. Now see, the tone of this is almost as though Pharaoh, who was kind of what the ancients would call a demigod. You know what a demigod is? A demigod is a god that may not be total god, but is all but that. The people believe that this entity, that this person is a god. That was Pharaoh. They believe that Pharaoh had some kind of divine qualities. All right, and so he feels like to some degree that he's in a position of God, and he also believes in some of the ancient Egyptian gods who had totally different names than this so-called God that Moses comes with, because he says, who is the Lord? Moses comes to him and says, this is what the Lord says. Now, for us, the Lord is just a general designation for God, but the Lord was a proper name for this deity, L-O-R-D, Yahweh, Jehovah. And so when he goes to what's his name, Pharaoh, and says the capital L-O-R-D, said this, Pharaoh says, I don't even know who capital L-O-R-D is. Okay, so let's start right there. That's my issue right there. I don't even know who this person is that you are talking about. And that's really the central matter in the whole Exodus story. Pharaoh gives voice to the primary, seminal, salient issue in the whole Exodus narrative, and that is, who is the Lord? And sometimes you don't find out until you're on the other side of the Red Sea. That's a whole other thing. All right. Okay, so you see the arrogance of the oppressor. And then just keep on reading. You have what I call the priority of the oppressor. Verse 3, it'd be helpful if I could see. Verse 3. Then they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, or he may strike us with plagues or with the sword. Now, is Moses just kind of messing with him? What does Moses say the reason that they want to go is?
To
worship God. For how long?
3 days.
And what's the implication there?
Don't work.
After 3 days, we will come back. But really, was that Moses' intention?
No.
Once they got in the wilderness, they're like, I'm ghost, baby. I'm out. We out. But he couldn't say that to Pharaoh, obviously. You know, he couldn't say, let the people go because we are leaving Egypt now. He says, no, let us go into the wilderness and worship for a few days. Okay? But how does Pharaoh respond? Verse 4. But the king of Egypt said, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to your work. After Pharaoh started cussing right about then, they didn't put that in the Bible. Then Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are now numerous, and you are stopping them from working. What's Pharaoh's concern here? Profit. He said, I got all these people working for me, and you want to go off and have church? You want them to take off on Sundays? You want to close down? No. I got all these people working for me now, and you going to stop the production? No, that can't happen. This is the priority of the oppressor in this text. Keep on reading. If you've never read this chapter, this is an amazing chapter that speaks to a whole lot that has gone on and that's going on now all around the world when it comes to the few who are running things and the many who are making the money for the few. Call it whatever you want to call it. Capitalism, whatever you want to call it. This is what's going on here in Egypt. And Pharaoh's issue is he has this labor force that he can't let them go away because of what they're doing for him and the rest of the ones who are on top. So after Pharaoh says that to them, what does Pharaoh do now? That same day, Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and the overseers in charge of the people. You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw. But require them to do what? Make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That's why they want to go to church. They just lazy. Let us go and sacrifice to our God. Make the work harder for the people so that they keep working and pay no attention to the lies. This ought to be killing you. Look, keep them. The expectation of the oppressor is to put the people at a disadvantage, but expect them to produce the same thing. Second time. I don't even have to make application. Put the people at a certain disadvantage and make them produce the same thing and keep them busy to the point where they don't have time to think about any kind of freedom. Keep them preoccupied with what they are doing so that they won't believe the lies. Pharaoh sees Moses and Aaron as agitators from the outside who've come in to stir up people who've been satisfied with their plight. Whenever Martin King or Ralph Abernathy, Hosea Williams, Y.T. Walker, whenever they went into a city, SCLC, Birmingham, where else they go? Atlanta. Where's the other place?
Selma, Albany.
Whenever they went in these places, those who lived there always considered them outsiders who had come in to agitate and stir up people who were perfectly satisfied with the way we do things down here.
Yeah.
Right? And you don't want to, we don't need them outsiders coming in stirring up stuff, okay? And so this is how Moses and Aaron are viewed by Pharaoh. Because Pharaoh's intent is to keep everything the way it is so that he can continue to profit from the present structure. I have too much time on this. Because in order for them to make bricks, they needed straw to hold the mud together. Okay? And so now they're being called on to make the same amount of bricks and have to gather their own straw. And the time that it would take for them to get the straw would take away from the production of the bricks. Got it? Okay. And so, turn over to the next part of this. All I'm trying to show you is the roadblocks that Moses and Aaron ran into. Okay. Look at the tactics of the oppressor. Verse 10. Then the slave drivers and the overseers went out and said to the people, "This is what Pharaoh says. I will not give you any more straw. Go and get your own straw wherever you can find it. But your work will not be reduced at all." So the people scattered all over Egypt to gather stubble to use for straw. The slave drivers kept pressing them, saying, "Complete the work required of you for each day, just as when you had straw." And Pharaoh's slave drivers beat the Israelite overseers they had appointed, demanding, "Why haven't you met your quota of bricks yesterday, today, or as before? You haven't picked enough cotton." Then the Israelite overseers went and appealed to Pharaoh, "Why have you treated your servants this way? Your servants are given no straw, yet we are told, make bricks. Your servants are being beaten, but the fault is with your own people." Pharaoh said, "Lazy? That's what y'all are. Lazy? That's why you keep saying, 'Let us go and sacrifice to the Lord.' Now get to work. You will not be given any straw, yet you must produce your full quota of bricks." Watch it. The Israelite overseers realized they were in trouble when they were told, "You are not to reduce the number of bricks required of you each day." When they left Pharaoh, they found Moses. Who found Moses and Aaron? What overseers? The Israelite overseers found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet with them, and they said, "May the Lord look on you and judge you. You have made us obnoxious to Pharaoh and his officials and have put a sword in their hand to kill us." This is an amazing, and we don't have to talk about an example of how oppression and injustice work. You have the violence that's meant to keep people subjugated, because who's beaten here?
The overseers.
Israelite overseers are beaten by whom? Slave drivers. Slave drivers were Egyptian. The Israelite overseers, what happened is Pharaoh said, Let me get a couple hand-picked Israelites who can help me to keep them oppressed. This stuff ain't new, right? Here we go. Let me do. And so you have the violence, and then you have what I call caricature. It's when a people who are oppressed are caricatured to the point where Pharaoh calls them lazy. And they are to caricature someone or somebody, a group of people, is to exaggerate something to the point of lying about their character. Okay? You exaggerate it to the point of lying. And what is the purpose of that? What is the purpose of caricaturing a whole group of people? To degrade them? Stereotype them? And what does that do for you? If I can say a whole group of people that's different than my race or something, or different than where we live. We live over here. And, you know, they live on that side of the street. So therefore, and because they do, this is what we think about them. And we can treat them like we treat them because this is how they are. See, when you caricature somebody, well, what you do is you kind of categorize them out of being treated like human beings. That's what you do. And so in order to justify how I'm treating somebody, I have to dehumanize them, because there's no way I can treat them the way they ought to be treated as long as they're a member of the human family. So what I do is I stereotype them out of the human family in order to justify me stepping on them. So he calls them lazy. Caricature. Division. Where is their division here? I see some division going on between the overseers and the people. But who else? Between the overseers and Moses. And because the overseers go to Moses and Aaron and say what? Ever since you came with this whole freedom thing. Ever since, you know, we were satisfied with where we were. You know, it wasn't a great life, but at least we had a little peace. But now you want to come into town and stirring up trouble, and the oppressor has done what? Tightened the grip. Once, you know, they took our straw from us. At first they were supplying us with straw, which made our jobs easier. Now they want just as many bricks, but they don't give us the resources to produce. And they wonder why we're not producing like everybody else, where they are the ones who took our straw. you'll catch it on the way home. All right? Yeah. Take away the straw, but you want the same product. Okay. Look. Okay, now, God has gotten involved in the situation. And what happened when God got involved in chapter 5? Things went from bad to worse. And Moses and Aaron are tripping now. What does Moses do? What does Moses do? What are verses at? 22? What does Moses say in verse 22? Yeah. God, why you want to do this to us? Is this why you sent me? It's because of you I'm in this mess. Verse 23, ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, look, the whole sermon didn't change, right? From when he first went to the courts of Pharaoh, because when he first went to the courts of Pharaoh, oh, let my people go, right? I mean, he was killing the house. But then when he ran into some trouble, he said, you got me speaking in your name. You got me talking in your name. For real? And so Moses acknowledges that since you've gotten involved, God, the things have gotten worse. And we've run into this roadblock on our way to trying to do what you want us to do. We've run into this roadblock. We've run into this issue. Now, on Sunday, we suggested, and I'm done literally in 5 minutes, we suggested that when these things go from bad to worse, and because what might you and I have been tempted to do after verse 23? If I was Moses, I said, man, I'm going back to Midian and tend them sheep. I'm going to press rewind and act like this didn't happen. As my dad would say, I'm going to scratch out the day on the calendar that I saw the burning bush. I'm going back because the situation in Egypt got so severe. Okay? And it gives you, and as comical as it is to us, we are reading it from the outside. Put yourself in the shoes of these people who have to produce. And their situation has gotten worse. All because these two outsiders come in. Neither one understand. And imagine them tripping. Because Moses nor Aaron had been doing any work in Egypt. Now, I'm not exactly sure where Aaron came from, but I know Moses had a wife and family. He was chilling the air conditioning in Midian, tending the sheep, and all of a sudden, y'all gonna come here, and we've been working all these years, and you gonna come talking about let my people go, and they're tightening thing on it. How would you feel? Okay, so here it is, and I'm done. When we run into these roadblocks to our purpose, roads to destiny, just a few suggestions and things we got to keep in mind as we, and three of these I said Sunday. First of all, be open to an alternative word. Be open to another word. What does verse 1 say? It's very interesting. Go back up to 5:22, chapter 5, verse 22. Chapter 5, verse 22. Chapter 5, verse 22. What's it say? Those first three or four words. And Moses returned to the Lord. What does that imply to you? That when you return to something, and I don't want to read too much into it, but it could mean that while things were kind of rolling good, you know, Moses had kind of drifted away from God. I don't know. I don't want to read that into too much into, but that's possible. That's possible. He got the big head, okay? Maybe that's where you want to put it. Okay, and the trouble brought his feet back down to earth, okay? And so he speaks to God, and verse 1 says, then the Lord said to Moses. God had been quiet all in chapter 5. Everybody else had been speaking. So when things are not going the way I want them to, even when I believe God has planted this thing in mind, I got to stay open, stay vulnerable for an alternative word. Because God will speak. Won't he speak? And he'll speak a whole lot of different ways. All right? Okay. And then he reveals to Moses that God's purpose is still intact. Where's that? Look in verse 1 still. Now you will see. There you go. What I will do to Pharaoh because of my mighty hand. He will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them. He will drive them out of the country. What does that have to do? Now I need y'all to make a connection. What does that have to do with the fact that the Lord allowed the grip of oppression to be tightened? Somebody make this connection for me, please. And now he says, and so the Lord says, now you're going to see what I'm going to do to Pharaoh.
Nothing else
can
do it but God.
What did you say?
Moses, he had to make sure that Moses
Okay, I think we in the neighborhood. I think we're in the neighborhood. I think we're in the neighborhood. Anybody want to help us out with this? Here's the question. Make sure we understand the question. God says, now you're going to see what I'm going to do to Pharaoh. As if to say, something happened in chapter 5 in the tightening of the grip that was necessary for you to see what I'm going to show you. What's going on here? The Lord says, okay, now you're going to see. You got it? I think that's kind of the thrust. Is what happened in chapter 5, was that necessary to happen? There was no other way for them to get out of it unless God did it. Okay? All right, somebody want to add to this? This is crucial.
Because Pharaoh didn't know who he was anyway, so that's how God had to show him, I am God, I am that I am.
Okay, I think we're on to something here.
You were saying that God never gives us a task that we don't need God to complete.
Okay.
So it would have been easy for Moses to just go say, let them go, and they got to go. Nobody would have really found out what God was able to do.
Okay. All right.
He also had to get the attention of the people because they had already been doing what they've been doing for 4 years. It had to be tighter.
It had to be tighter.
In order for them to react and be willing to move. Something had to give.
I think y'all talking good talk. Yeah.
He had to wake them up to recognize where they were, what kind of condition they were in.
That's interesting. That's an interesting thing. That if God had let them go, if Pharaoh had let them go, then Pharaoh would have never been in a position to receive the punishment that he was due. Okay. Yes, sir. Okay. All right. Yes, sir. Then I'll come over here.
It's twofold. God is put Israel in a position that they will see who he is, because that's the whole question here is,
who is the Lord?
Who is the Lord?
Keep in mind that question.
Right. And
who is the Lord?
And the Lord is going to show, and Pharaoh dissed him, like, who is the Lord that I should obey him? He's going to now show, and Pharaoh had to do that, he's going to show Pharaoh as well as Israel who God is.
Okay. Now, let me ask you then. What was God's purpose for sending Moses to Pharaoh in the first place? To liberate the people. Okay, let's keep it simple. Liberate the people. Okay. What does God say now here in verse 1? Now you will see. As if to say, what happened there is actually building a platform for you to see what I'm about to do. And you need to know that no matter how bad things became in the tightening of the oppression, that the purpose is still intact. That I haven't, no matter what you got to go through, even as you, let's keep the analogy going. As you apply for schools, you apply for this program, and I want you in there, and you may have to deal with some hurdles. You may get a rejection letter at first. Apply again, dot, 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 dot. I still have my purpose for you intact, even if that purpose gets beaten up along the way. Because my purpose can take a beating and just keep on going. My purpose can be buried for 3 days. But... No, y'all Baptist people. Early. Say it like the Baptists say it.
Yeah.
That's right. On Sunday morning, purpose will get up, okay? So no matter what you do, to that purpose. And this is what I love. In a church, in your life, in your family, in your relationship, my purpose for it may take a beating. And it may go through hell. But it can't kill my purpose. Because it's going to still be intact. There you go. Be open to alternative word. He wants Moses to know things go from bad to worse. My purpose is still intact. And then he says, understand that my character is consistent. Where's that? 2 through 5. God said to Moses, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself fully known to them. Don't have time to talk about that. We alluded to it on Sunday. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where I resided as foreigners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. In other words, you have to know that even if you can't trace my hand, you got to trust my character. And my character is consistent. I'm not a man that I should lie. So if I put it in your heart, I'm going to see it to pass. Because I have a covenantal relationship with you based on a connection. I'm going to bless you not because of who you are, but because of who you're connected to. And you are connected to Jesus Christ. And that makes all the difference as to me honoring what I'm going to do in your life. Look. I have to sometimes just trust God's character. That he's going to see this thing through. And if he's allowing it, even if he's allowing what's going on, it don't change that relationship. Okay? Last thing, and we close. Even when things go from bad to worse, your assignment is the same. Verse 6. Therefore, and then this is who talking to whom? God talking to whom? Talking to Moses. Notice that Moses and Aaron both had the problems, but God is just dealing with Moses. And whatever God says to Moses, Moses will have to say
to Aaron.
Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, The issue or the main piece here is that Moses is still supposed to say the same thing. Just keep going back. I ain't giving you no new revelation. Everybody wants some new revelation. Go out to the bushes and get your new revelation. I want the bishop to speak something new over me. Okay. Connect with what you already know first. The Bible has enough revelation in it to occupy you for a lifetime. Reaffirm the assignment. He says, just keep going back and doing the same thing. Just keep going back. Just, even when it seems like things got worse, just go back and do what you've been doing. Because you're going to see that I'm going to work. When there are roadblocks to destiny, to purpose, be open to that alternative word, to everything that you've already heard. What else? Understand that God's purpose is still intact. Trust in God's character as being consistent. And then stick to the assignment. The game plan does not change just because you got behind. Keep on going. All right. If you haven't yet, you haven't been able to, and I understand if you haven't been able to do it yet, we thank you for just the gathering tonight. Thank you for your people who are here, and some pressed their way after a long day today, Lord. And thank you for everybody who's here in this circle. Thank you for what your word says and for speaking to us tonight. God, all of us run into roadblocks sometimes as we're trying to make progress, as we try to move forward. And sometimes you move roadblocks out the way. And sometimes you give us the strength to deal with them. And when they happen, Lord, just keep us open to what you're saying. And help us to realize that you still got your purpose moving on. And all that, God, we just pray that you would just keep us strong as a people, as a congregation, as our families, as individuals here. Keep us on the road of purpose and destiny. Now, as we travel home, some near, some far, keep us safe. Keep your hands around us. Bless us with good rest tonight. And for those, some who have to go to work even on tonight, God, we pray that you would strengthen them as they go to work tonight. And bless us to wake up in the morning and represent you well publicly and privately wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen.